Colossians chapter 1 verse 23, I will start reading from verse 21. This is the reading of God's word. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is truly the lamp upon our feet. It shows the way to Christ. It shows way to heaven. And Father, as we hear your word, let our faith grow. Let us be more like your Son. And through your word, let us see what your Son has done and accomplished for us, that we may rejoice and give you all the thanksgiving and glory. Oh Father, let us have sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ as we hear his word. We thank you, and we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let me remind you what we read in verses 21 and 22, which we have looked at last time. Although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet our God, gracious God, has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you, present all of us before God, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. This is who you are in the sight of God. Not that you are truly holy and blameless and beyond reproach, but in Jesus Christ you are. Because now he sees you in his Son, Jesus Christ. You have his righteousness, and his blood has cleansed all your sins. He paid in full all the wages of sins that you have committed. In short, the ultimate goal that God has for us is that we will be like our Lord himself. We will be like him. An amazing grace is that this is our present reality. Present, spiritual, heavenly reality that our Lord has already accomplished for us. That you don't have to wait to be holy and blameless in the sight of God. You are already in Jesus Christ. But when you see your God face to face, this reality will be visibly consummated. And now, today, verse 23, it says, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Now, for some Christians, this kind of passage, rather than bringing joy, it kind of bring a burden. Because it seems that this passage is saying that our standing before God as a holy and blameless and beyond reproach person is conditional. Because he says, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and if you not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So if you don't, then you will not be able to stand before God as holy and blameless. Is that what this verse is saying? Is this verse saying that even if you are truly saved, if you do not do what it says, then you will lose your salvation? You already know the answer. It is no. The salvation of God that our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished is absolutely effectual. God, even before creation, planned, and our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished, and the Holy Spirit effectually applies to His people. Our God does not fail. If He planned to save you, if He chose you before the foundation of the universe to be His Son, and that means you will be saved because He does not fail. Our God does not fail. If God saves, then that salvation is forever. All who are justified by faith will go through sanctification, and that sanctification process by the grace of God will lead everyone who are justified by faith to glorification. John chapter 6 verse 39 says, "This is the will of Him who sent me, that all that He has given me I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day." Jesus will not lose anyone. All those that the Father has given Him so that He could save those elect, out of all those people, He will lose none. He will raise everybody up in that last day. And everybody will be glorified, not just spiritually, but even bodily. Visibly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8, "Who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." It just brings so much joy to our hearts to hear these kind of verses. He will confirm you to the end. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23 to 24, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass." We have no doubt that this will happen. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, "For I am confident of this very thing." He says, "I am confident of this very thing. That He who began a good work in you," and obviously because you came to this church and you confessed your faith in Jesus Christ, obviously, He began a good work in you, all of you. But this verse says, "He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." This is His promise. He will perfect it. Yes, sometimes when you look at yourself and how you are, you wonder, when will you be like Christ? Well, it will take forever. But God can do this in your lifetime. It doesn't take him forever. Only your lifetime. I don't know when you're going to die, but as you know, when you die, you will see yourself in heaven and you go, whoa, I am perfect. God promised He will work in us until we get to that perfection. So it's not that we trust one another, but we trust God. Because if I look at you or you look at me, there's how are we going to be like Christ? But I have to look at God who is in you, who is working in you. I trust God, and you trust God who is in me. That's why when I look at you, even though you might sin, well, you do sin, just like I do, and you will disappoint me and disappoint a lot of people, but I cannot, you know, give up on you because I trust God who is in you. Because if, what does it mean to give up on you? It means that I'm also giving up on that person who is in you, God who is in you. I cannot do that. God will bring it to pass. So is there a possibility that it will not happen? Absolutely not. But we see in the churches the occurrences that give the impression that people who are saved do lose their salvation later in their lives. That they've been coming to church for so long and all of a sudden they just deny, you know, denounce everything and don't come to church. Even those kind of people, you need to wait. You never know when he will come back. But if he never comes back, that doesn't mean that he was saved, but that later he lost his salvation. That is not what it means. It means that he never been saved. Go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. Apostle John tells of these people who did just that. They were with them, the apostles, but they left. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. They have denounced it to show that they were not true Christian in the first place. But this point is making, what point that we're making is that that person who does that, ultimately to the end of his life, we're saying that he was never saved. It's not that he was saved and he lost salvation. That's not what the Bible is teaching. But even those people, you still need to pray for them and wait. If God pour out His grace, then you will never know. You don't know when He will come back, repenting His sins. So John says that they went out because they were showing that they were not with us. They were not one of us. These people were not saved in the first place, and these people are included in the membership of the visible churches. I mean, think about Judas. Judas, the one of the 12 disciples who betrays Jesus. It is not that Jesus failed to save him, but that he was never an elect. Jesus even says that even as he was born condemned. The Bible clearly teaches the sovereignty of God. He does everything according to His will. But this does not mean that the Bible ignores the responsibility of man. Yes, God works, and He always works effectually. God works in His people so that His people will obey Him. Yes, His people will sin until they die, but God's work continues until they will be glorified in heaven. It is all by His grace. The recipients of the grace of God will respond well to His will. Thus, verse 23 speaks the truth, of course. It is true that we must continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not move away from the hope of the gospel. Not to do so is to prove that one is never saved in the first place. Of course, when we do obey God, we will never do anything perfectly until we get to heaven, but we, by His grace, will repent, and we will continue to trust our God and His work in us, and we give our best. Yes, Bible teaches God's sovereignty, but Bible also teaches man's responsibility. God's method is this. Well, let me show you a few verses, try to explain this. Go to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. We saw this verse before, but this will help us to understand God's method. Ezekiel 36, verse 36 and 37. God says, "Then the nations that are left around about you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it." Now, God says, I will restore this ruined place. But He says, I have spoken and will do it. Now, do you have any doubt that it will happen or not? No, God says, I have spoken and I will do it. But He continues, "Thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them." It's not that because Israelites, they pray to God, that God will answer the prayer and He will do it. God says, I'll do this, but you must ask. Which means it will happen, but what else will happen? People will pray. People will ask. Because that is God's design. So it will happen. Not because people pray, but through people's prayer, God will do His will. So we work because God works. And if God is not working, then our work will be useless. But because God is working, think about it. If God is working, what is He doing in us? He's making us more like Christ, meaning that He's making us a person who will obey more. That's what He's doing in us, right? If He's working. Then that person will do what? If that is what God is doing in his life, he will obey more. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. verse 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation. It sounds like Armenian to us, because God is commanding us to work out your salvation. But see, this is a true statement. We need to work it out. But next verse says, for it is God who is at work in us, work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Now it sounds like Calvinistic understanding, right? But it is God who works in us to give us will and desire and will to do all those things. But because God is doing all that, it doesn't mean that I don't have to work it out. I have to work it out. Because the working it out, that's exactly what God is doing in my life. He's working so that I will do that. So that if I don't do it, that just means then He's not working. That's why God says faith without works is dead. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Even to those who believe in His name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. It says that whoever receives Jesus, God will give them the right to become children of God. It sounds like Armenian again, that you have to receive Christ first, then God will give you right to become His child. But that decision to receive, it says, it's not, what does it say there? It's not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. The decision to receive Christ is not the will of man. It was the will of God. But because it was the will of God doesn't mean you don't have to receive. You do have to receive Him. You have to. You cannot say, oh, I don't receive Jesus Christ, but it is God who does all this, so I'm saved. No, you have to receive Christ as your Savior. Your responsibility is still there. But even as you receive, you realize that it was not my will. It was actually God. That's your confession, even as you receive Him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, for this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power, which mightily works within me. Paul says, I work, but it is according to the power that is in me, working in me, God's power that I work. So yes, God saves you, and now you are blameless and holy and beyond reproach in Jesus Christ. And He will make sure that you will stand before God that day when He comes back. You will stand before God as holy and blameless and beyond reproach. But He also will make sure that you will continue in the faith and that you will not move away from the hope of the gospel. See the commands of God. Those commands themselves are the proof for the believers that we are the recipients of God's grace. When God commands us of anything, those commands themselves demonstrate the redemptive reality that God has already accomplished for us. The redemptive reality in which we are now able to obey those commands because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished for us. I gave you this example a long time ago, but once again, when you look at Exodus, God did not give Ten Commandments to Israelites when they were in Egypt and say, if you obey these things, I will save you. He did not do that. He saved them already. They came out of Egypt. Then he gave Ten Commandments. So what you see there is that these commands that God gives is according to what God has done in redemptive history. And because of what he has done, what kind of eternal reality that now you possess. Based on that, God's command is given to you. His commands are not burden for us, for they show how blessed we are. God is working in us to make us like His Son, Jesus Christ, that we will obey more and more, and one day we will obey all of His commands perfectly forever in that glorious place. God has already accomplished our salvation that in it we will continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not move away from the hope of the gospel. And when you believe that, that faith will enable you to live that faith out in your life. And only then your life is pleasing to the Lord because you are living it out by your faith. We must believe, and that faith will enable you to obey that command with your best effort. So we believe and do our best to continue in the faith and not move away from the hope of the gospel. But as we do that, always trusting that our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and the perfecter of faith, will make sure that we do that. But you still have to do it. Because not to do it is to show that God is not working in you. Oh, that is serious. But I'm not trying to scare you, but I do want you to take this seriously. Christian life is serious life. We need to obey God. And when we don't obey, we need to repent. It's not okay to sin. It's never okay to sin. And your knowledge of Calvinism makes you sin more and use that knowledge as license to sin more, then you do not really understand Calvinism. Calvinism is not teaching that it is God who does everything so that you could sin, all sin, and it's okay. That's not what Calvinism is all about. Isaiah 55 verse 11, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. When God said, let there be light, there is no way that light will not be. You have to understand this. If God says, let there be light, then light will be. Light cannot deny God's command. Because he willed it, and it will happen. Because God's word is effectual. When God says to you that you will continue in the faith and not move away from the hope of the gospel, then you will, unless you are not the intended recipient of his word. Just like God says, let there be light, and there will be light. He says to you, be faithful, then you will. Ultimately, you will. Unless you are not intended recipient of his word. Because his word will accomplish everything that it was purposed for. So these kind of commands that God gives us, it brings so much joy. He commands me this, which means I will be. So I do my best because I know I will be. This is how we live by faith. See, God says, be like my son. And I think I gave you this example one more time. You know, nothing wrong with repeating examples because I don't have too many examples. If you could condense your life to 1 second. You know, we live 90 years, but condense your life into 1 second. God says to you, be like Jesus Christ, and 1 second later you are. But that 1 second is now stretched to 90 years. But same thing is happening. God says, be like my son and you will. Just like your life is 1 second, but it's just stretched to 90 years, but you will be whatever he commands. If it is his will for you to be that and he commands it, then you will. But that stretch in 90 years, you will try your best and you will live by faith and you will grow and God will pour out his grace and all those things are happening, but it's as if you're life is like 1 second. God says, be and you are. This is what Christian life is all about. Trust him. And when you read these commands of God, rejoice. Because that's exactly how you are going to be forever and ever. And you believe so that now you do your best to show who you truly are in Christ. By faith. God's will be done. Absolutely. If God's will for us is that we continue in faith and not moving away from the hope of the gospel, then his will be done in us. If God does all, then I don't have to do anything is a false assumption. If God is working in you to be more like Christ, then how would your life be? How can we say that even when God is working in us, we will continue to rebel against his will? If that happens, then only two possibilities, like I said. First, God is not efficient. He fails in his work. He is just completely not able. Or God is not in you. Now, through your life, what do you want to show out of those two? That God is not in you, God is not working in you, or that God is working in you? And if you want to show that God is working in you, and if that is your true desire, you will do what it says. You will give your best effort to do what it says, to show that he is indeed in you, working in you, because that is what you believe. If God pours out His grace upon us, and if God is working in us, then we will be like His Son. We will continue in the faith and hold on to the hope of the gospel. There's no doubt we will do that. Thus, if anyone does not continue in the faith and move away from the hope of the gospel, then that person proves that he was not saved in the first place. But see, it's not, you don't understand these kind of verses. If I do this, then God. But this is how God says. This is how He says. This is His way. So that only the people who are recipient of His grace will truly understand it. God says, if you believe, then you will be saved. As if your believing has to be the precondition of your salvation. But that's not what it means. But it is true, you need to believe to be saved. He's not telling you false things. But we need to understand it in a correct way. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, the firmly established and steadfast, or grounded and settled, that grounded in other places is translated as a foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. The same word is used, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20, also the same word is used here. Having been built on the foundation, that same word, of the apostles and prophet, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. See, our foundation is Jesus Christ and his word. The same word is used in Matthew chapter 7 verse 25. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And rock is Jesus Christ. So if indeed you continue in faith, firmly established and steadfast, and how do we do that? Well, it is in Jesus Christ and in His Word. And not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. The word not moved away, the phrase. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14, as a result, we are no longer the children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. Some in the church are tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. You know, they go to this church and they learn this doctrine, and they go to another church and they learn different doctrine, and they're just tossed like a, you know, chaff blowing away by the wind, however wind blows. But he says, no, we are not moved away from the hope of the gospel that we have heard. So if we condense verse 23, how can we stand before God as holy and blameless and beyond reproach? If we continue in the faith, in the gospel, the faith in His word. How can I be sure that I will stand before God as holy and blameless and beyond reproach? Ask yourself, do I believe? If your answer is yes, then doubt no more. But when we say we believe, what are we saying we're believing? His word. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26 and 27, oh, that he might sanctify her, church, having cleansed by her, cleanse her by the washing of water with the word. that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she will be holy and blameless. He will accomplish this through his word. Perseverance of saints. 5 points of Calvinism, right? The last one, perseverance of saints. The saints will persevere to the end. Question is, can a believer lose his salvation? Absolutely not. I read you this, Philippians 1:6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You are protected by the power of God, but that is through your faith. Jude chapter 1, verse 24 and 25, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. But more importantly, let's go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Verse 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, he's a Peter. Behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you out like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned away, strengthen your brothers. You know the story. Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times. But Jesus says, I pray for you that your faith will not fail. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, your Lord prays for you. He prays for you that your faith may not fail. Do you have any doubt that his prayer for you will not be answered by our Father? Let us examine ourselves. Am I continuing in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moving away from the hope of the gospel that I have heard? Then God says that you will stand before God as holy and blameless. See, you gotta go backwards. God wills us to stand before him as holy and blameless, and Jesus Christ has accomplished that reality through his death and resurrection, and he works in us to make us more like Jesus Christ. He is working in us so that we will continue in the faith. You see, if you truly believe, these commands are not burdensome, but they give us the certainty of the reality which they command us to witness. When God says, continue in faith, it doesn't come to us as a burden, but it comes to us as certainty that that reality, that command is showing, is what our witness because of the work of God in me. Believe, brothers and sisters. Thank God our salvation does not depend on us. Because if the salvation depends on you or depends on me, then we should all just forget about Christianity and just go home and just eat, drink, whatever you do, because we're all going to go to hell.
I will make sure. That's why He is with you. He is working in you. And because of His work, you will stand before God as holy and blameless people of God. Believe. And whenever you have this doubt, because you sin, see, sin will make you doubt. It always does. You do first. Jesus died for that sin. He paid the wage for that sin. And He lived that righteous life for me. And He is working in me right now to make me more like Christ. And just the fact that I am repenting my sins and sincerely desiring to be like Christ, this means that He already began that good work in me. And His promise to me is that He will finish that work, no matter how slow that work seems. But God is faithful. And I think there's a deliberateness of that work expressed in a slow way. Because He requires you faith. Don't you think God could? I mean, He's able to do everything, right? Don't you think that as soon as He saves you, 5 seconds later, He could make you perfect? Then you don't have to doubt anymore. You see it yourself. You're perfect. But see, that's not what God desires. He wants you to have faith. Meaning that it's not visible. And your sanctification is not visible. But you believe. I don't know how... Is there any one of you who could come out and say, oh yeah, I'm so sure I'm sanctifying. You know, I'm so good. I'm so better. I don't think so. Because even the sanctification is by faith. You need to believe that God is working in you. That His work, He will perfect it and complete it. Let me end this. God has said that our faith comes from hearing of His word. Let us be diligent in studying, reading, and meditating upon and hearing His word. And let us obey our God in Jesus Christ until we stand before God as holy and blameless. But let us never forget that that is our present spiritual heavenly reality. Even as we worship our God right now, brothers and sisters, right now, know that we stand in Jesus Christ. I want you to realize right now you stand before God as you worship as holy and blameless and beyond reproach in Jesus Christ. See, this is your present reality. And this reality will be visibly consummated one day. Until that day, we do our best to be faithful. Believing in our Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting Him. Never move away from the hope of the gospel. Amazing grace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You and give You all the glory, honor, and power. The salvation that You have brought to us is truly amazing grace. You have saved us so that we may stand before You as blameless, holy people of God, beyond reproach. This is your work, and it is truly amazing work. And we thank you that that is your will for us, that we will be like your Son, Jesus Christ, forever and ever. And that we will be able to worship you and serve you and serve one another as that perfect man, just like Christ. Oh, Father, we give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.